Appreciate everyone staying and remaining for the second part of the service. It's another opportunity for us to study and for us to grow together. And we hope that something we say this afternoon will cause you to think along your way, to be encouraged as we take another look at something from God's Word. We're looking at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I want to continue to pray for those who are away and those who are traveling during the summer months, those who are sick. So good to see. I missed it this morning, but I talked to her at lunch. Sister Denise Williams is with us. And I was by the house, and she so desperately wanted to get out that house. And you just don't understand what it means to be in the house of the Lord until you've been sick and been cooped up and you can't move and you can't move about and you can't do what you want to do and go how you used to go. And so Denise is here and she's out. She's looking good. Looking to see you here with us. And I went by to see her and visit with her. And I know she so desperately wanted to get out of that house. And she just wanted to be back here with the brothers. Just be back here in the house. I know sometimes for us it may seem mundane and routine. We come in and out every week, but be home somewhere where you can't move. Be somewhere cooped up and you can't get out. Then you'll realize how much this time means to come out and be with the brothers. And so that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to she missed service and just missed seeing all of y'all. And so I'm so glad she's here today. On the other hand, we want to continue praying for Brother Maxwell Red Cross. He's in medical ICU. His wife, Vitek, Sis Johnson. And so we'll go by and see him. Those of us that can, she said it's okay. Just keep your visit short if you do go by. So I'm planning to go by this afternoon and just see him. He's dealing with some blood clots. And so we're just hoping that things will work out on that behalf so that they can deal with that so he can continue the healing process this week. So continue to pray for him. Very briefly, I know it's hot in the building. I don't want to belabor you any longer. We'll look at some of the words that Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 11, toward the end of the chapter. In this chapter, we see John is in prison and had been in prison for a while. And John had heard what Jesus was doing and had sent messengers to Jesus to ask, was he the one, or should we look for another? Because many at that time were expecting Jesus to come and to take the throne. He was prophesied to be the king of the Jews, to be the Messiah. So they were looking for Jesus to come. And by that time, John is wondering, because he's been in jail a while, like, okay, what's Jesus' problem? Why is he delaying? Why hasn't he gone and taken the throne and taken over and dealt with all of this? But people really didn't understand Jesus' message at the time. Of course, John came preparing the way for Jesus and preaching the kingdom, preaching repentance, trying to get the people's hearts and ready to receive the Messiah who were to come. And Jesus, during the early part of his ministry had been the kingdom, for the kingdom was coming. But now in the latter part of this, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus' invitation is going to become more personal. If we look at verse 28 through 30, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We look at the people that Jesus ministered to during his time. Many of them were poor and they were needy people. Many were plagued with various diseases and sought healing. Some were demon-possessed. They were not the social elite of the day. And notice during that time, we had a lot of confrontation between the social elite and the social poor. You had the scribes and the Pharisees, those of the Jews, of the religious leaders. They were the elite of their time. And they looked down upon those who were beneath them, those who were sick, those who were poor, those who were downcast. And those, we see that confrontation during Jesus' lifetime. People that came to Jesus, they were down and out. Jesus could see the weariness on their faces, and so he offered them rest. Jesus could see the weariness on their faces, and he could see the weariness in their souls. To understand what Jesus was saying and why he was saying it, we have to take into consideration the spiritual need of these people. Many of them were the worst of the worst. living during a time when the standard of what it took to get into heaven was set so high, and the offering, what it took for them to get into heaven was set, so offering them was a rest of grace, what Jesus was offering them when he said, "Come unto me." There are three important words in this passage that are the high points of what Jesus is having to say, and we'll look at those three words. The first word that is one of the high points is come. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." The word come used here is an interesting word. It's a kind of word that someone might use if they were inviting us to a banquet. When people say, "Come to the feast, all things are ready. Come on to the feast." It's an earnest plea to come at once. Come now is what Jesus was saying. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Have you ever been around, you remember growing up, when it got around dinner time, and mama would say, "Come on to the table." Did she mean wait a few minutes? Did she mean come now? And I know how it feels, you know, if you ever cook and you in there and you cook and, you know, you slaving and you cooking and you're sweating and you get it all together and it's nice and hot. You put it on the table and you tell folks to come and they don't come. "Well, hang on. Let me get this last part of my video game done. Oh, we're right in the middle of the game. Oh, we're right in the middle of this episode. Oh, let me just finish this last little, I'm mowing the yard." And how do you as the cook feel when you say, "Come," and nobody comes to what you prepared? Well, Jesus is saying, "Come unto me." He's prepared the feast, and he was ready for them to come now. If we read much in the gospel, you've noticed that the kind of people who gathered around Jesus, they were those who were struggling because they were poor, they were needy. When Jesus taught them to pray, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." That was a very real concern for many of them when he said, "Give us this day our daily bread," because some people, that's all they could do was just worry about what's going to be our bread for the day. You see, them people, they didn't have what we have today. We have money sitting on the shelves and money sitting in the refrigerator. What I mean by that, go to your pantry. I bet you got money sitting on the shelves. Don't you have a lot of cans in there? You got some cans and you got some extra stuff and you have some ketchup and mustard in the refrigerator, but don't you have a spare one on the shelf? Don't you have some spare spices and some other stuff and some extra oil for cooking? You're going to cook something, you got oil sitting in your pantry. We have extra in our pantry. We go to our refrigerator, we just have money in the refrigerator. You go to your freezer, we got it stacked with money because we got extra food, so we don't have to worry about our daily bread. Now, a lot of times what's in there may not be what we want to eat, and so we may go out to eat and may eat something else, but it's not because when we go out to eat, brother, it's not because there's no food at home, it's just we don't want what's at home. Or when we go out to eat, it's because we don't want to take the time to thaw something and cook it, or we didn't take it out in enough time so it could thaw so we could cook it, so we go eat, but we got something at home. All of us got something at home. We got some canned, we got some beanie weenies, we got some canned food, we got something at home that we could fix. But when Jesus is talking to these people, "Give us this day our daily bread," that was a real concern because some of them did not have the daily bread and wondered where they were going to get their next bread. Among those who gathered around him were those who were suffering. Seems that people were constantly bringing their sick to Jesus for healing. They were bringing them so intently that one time that Jesus was so surrounded in a house that the men had to go up and take the thatching off the roof and let their friend down in the roof so that Jesus could heal their friend. There were those who were weighed down with their sin. We find in scripture that often publicans and prostitutes and sinful people were drawn to Jesus. And many of the scribes and Pharisees would come after Jesus and would criticize him like, "Why does he eat with publicans and sinners? Why does he eat with those people? Why does he socialize?" The spiritual elite of the day would criticize the Messiah for eating with those people. It was because of their sinful lifestyles that were weighing them down that they came to Jesus. Sin can produce a bit of fun for a season, but eventually begins to take its toll. Sin is good for a season, but then it begins to wear on you because sin takes you farther than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you intend to stay, and it costs you more than you're willing or eventually can pay. So sin begins to take its toll. The guilt of sin can be a terrible burden, and those of Jesus' day came to him for some kind of relief. To them, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden." Jesus says, "I will give you rest." So that first important word is come. Jesus invites us to come. The second word, important word is take. Jesus said, take. Take my yoke upon you. What is a yoke? Now, you remember the last time I spoke when I was talking to you from Galatians chapter 5, and Paul talked about from those who would go back in and allow the Jewish law to be put upon them, and even though they had been converted to grace and truth and Christianity, and Paul considered it a yoke that they would go back and put on the yoke of bondage of sin to go back in and put that yoke on. But a yoke, as we talked about in that lesson, a yoke is a piece of wood that was carved out, and it would allow you to put two teams of animals together. Most common animals were used that you would yoke together for work would be oxen, sometimes horses, but you would put two oxen together so that you could make them work together. You could use them. So it was a piece of wood that was carved out so it'd be smooth and would fit around the animal's necks, and then you'd have a bow that would go underneath it, and it would allow them to use the force of their shoulders and their bodies to pull, or either use it as an instrument. A lot of times you use an oxen to grind out wheat. You put them on have a pole attached to it, and as they would go around in circle, then this the grain would be ground out. Or you would put it on something to plow. You put two oxen together, and you use them to plow. And so this piece of wood was carved out so it would fit over the neck of the animal, therefore causing the animal to carry a heavy load. In Bible times, the concept of a yoke was often associated with some form of slavery or bondage because, see, a yoke is put on animals to make them do something that they would not naturally do, that they wouldn't do naturally. So you would put this yoke on them and put them in some form of bondage, and so you can make them do the work. There are a lot of people in some form of bondage today. There are people who are in bondage to the past. Some people, they get passed over. They can't get over the past. They're in bondage. They're slaves to what happened to them yesterday. Others are in bondage to some form of pleasure. They're always seekers of pleasure, always looking for the next thrill, the next high. They get high off of pleasure, seeking pleasure, always looking for the next thing. Some are in bondage to prestige or to power. Others in bondage to possessions. The reason why we have such a credit crisis in this country today is because of people in bondage that they need to buy one more thing. If I just get this one more thing, if I just get this one more outfit, if I just get this one more house, if I just get this brand new car. Yeah, I got last year's model, but I want this year's model. And so people are in bondage because they're willing to mortgage and finance all the money that they earn so that they can have what they think will make them happy. Yet the Bible teaches us that in reality, when we do these things, we are serving sin. We are a slave to sin, as the Bible would tell us. There was another kind of bondage present in Jesus' day, and that was what might surprise us, that there was those who were slave to a religious system. Back in Jesus' day, those scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, made them slaves to the Jewish religion, and that's why the Jewish religion had to be taken out of the way. It wasn't the law, that Jesus gave them, but it was what men did to Jesus' law. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, when he pronounces the woe to the religious leaders, Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 4, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers." So they would bind these heavy burdens on the people, but they themselves were not doing them. They were like, "Do as we say, but not as we do." They weren't doing it, but they wanted the people to do it. So these heavy burdens that they would take the law, just like, for instance, the Sabbath day. You weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath day. Well, the Jews, they would figure out if you walked on the Sabbath day,
if you walked too far, they would consider you were working. So they would figure out how far you could walk, how many feet, what distance you could walk without it being considered work. And then they would bind it on there. If you walk past this distance, then you working on the Sabbath day. So all of these little oral traditions that began to be written down. It was not the law, not the written law of Moses, but they began to adhere to these oral traditions that men would start to write down, these traditions on the law, these interpretations, and those are the things that began to be a heavy burden on the people for them to keep the law, because it was all these traditions. And so Jesus himself was saying, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So you have the law that was given to them by Moses, but they had added to it. They had added their own little flavor to the law, and this became a burden on the people. We can have the same burden on us today. Some of us find serving the Lord to be a burden, as Brother Michael talked about today. So, you know, like coming to the service, is that a burden? Is that a burden that we bear? It depends on as Brother Mike Brett was saying on Wednesday night, it depends on your perspective. Now, if you look at coming to serve as an opportunity to serve God, an opportunity to learn more, then you don't see it as a burden. But if you see it as an obligation, if you see, well, I'm obligated to serve, I'm obligated to be here, and whenever we're obligated to do something, the natural human tendency is to see how little of it we can do. If you owe the IRS a lot of money, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get them tax advantage lawyers to see how little you can pay of that obligation. When we're obligated to do something, when we were told to do something, as children, I remember my mother would tell us to do something, we would see how little of it we could do and get away with it. And eventually she would catch up to us because we would cut corners, see how little of it we could do. So when you have an obligation, you tend to not to go the extra mile. You see, can I just meet the minimum? Can I just come up and just barely do what I need to do? Those of us that are school teachers know that we see our students do this every day. How much can we do? Mr. Stevens, how much will you grade? I'm like, it's your choice. You turn in what you want to turn in. Now, I'm going to grade it. Now, if you want full credit, do the whole thing. Well, can I just do this? Do it or don't do it. It's really not up to me. It's up to you. What do you want? Do you want the full credit for the assignment? Then do the whole assignment. Well, can we do this much? Do we have to write out? If you want full credit, do the assignment just as I told you to do it. I want you to do this. I want you to write this. But that's too much. Okay, that's your choice. You can do it or not do it. It don't make a difference to me. But if you want the full credit for the assignment, then you'll do it as I gave it to you. Okay, all right. Well, they eventually come to the fact that it's better for them to do it. But when we're obligated to do stuff, we try to do the minimum. So like in our attendance and in our worship and stuff, if we see it as an obligation, we're going to just do the minimum. Okay, I was there Sunday morning, as if God is sitting there checking off. Okay, you was there and that's it. But that's not it. Now, the scriptures don't say that you have to be here both times of the service, that you have to be here both services. The scriptures don't even tell us to have both services. Scripture don't tell you to have both services. The scripture says worship. So if you're going to be a legalist in the legalist standpoint, if you come and worship in the morning and leave, you technically have worship. You have worship. Now, the scripture don't tell us to have two worships. But Acts 20:7 says that on the first of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to tomorrow and tomorrow, continue this speech until when? Okay, so they got scripture for being there all day. Well, do I have to come the Wednesday night? No, you don't have to come the Wednesday night. But scripture says that in Acts 2:47, Acts 2, that the disciples, they gathered together and continue what? Daily from house to house in the apostles' doctrine. There you go. We have instances where there were women who had ladies' Bible class by the river during the week. So we got scripture for you to meet. It doesn't say you have to meet on Wednesday night, you have to meet on Tuesday, but we know that God's folks did meet throughout the week. They met daily from house to house, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We know that they met on the Lord's day. We don't know if they met one time and then went home and came back. We know that they did meet. So, depending on your interpretation, your perspective, those of us who see this and see the opportunities that the elders provide to worship, you don't mind coming. It's not a burden to you. You're willing to come because you see it as an opportunity. But the religious folks of that day, the Pharisees and the scribes, then put a weight on the people that they themselves were not willing to bear. And so we look at Jesus saying, come and take my yoke. And so we look at how can taking one yoke be better than another yoke? Well, Jesus said, take my yoke because it's easy and the burden's light. Well, how is Jesus' yoke easy? First of all, we got to understand two perspectives about the yoke and why Jesus used this symbol. The yoke is a symbol of partnership. There are two of you working on it and not just one. When you have a yoke, when you yoked, you have two animals that are working together simultaneously. Paul will tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So Paul will tell us, warn us about being in partnership with unbelievers. Don't be yoked unequally with unbelievers. When we are yoked together, we are yoked with Jesus. We're in partnership with Jesus. Jesus says, I will help you out with your problems. I will carry your load. He doesn't add to your load. He says, I'll share the load. He doesn't have a load because he's God. So he's willing to share the load. So when Jesus says, come and take my yoke, guess who's on the other side with you in that yoke? Jesus. So if you take the world's yoke, you take these other yoke, you're in there by yourself. But Jesus says, take my yoke. Why is my yoke easier? Because his yoke, you are in partnership with the Lord. Jesus says, I will share the load. Stick with me. Go shoulder to shoulder with me. Work with me and I will be your partner. I will carry part of the load, he says. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? Because we're sharing it. Look at Psalms 55 and 22. Psalms 55 and 22 for inspiration. Psalms 55 and 22. The psalmist says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So, and other scriptures that say, cast your burdens on him because what? He careth for you. So when we are yoked with Christ, we can cast our burdens on us. We're not carrying the load alone, but we're carrying it with Christ. God has a stronger back than you and I do. If you're overloaded, overstressed, burdened down this afternoon, it's because you are not yoked to Christ this very moment. So Jesus says, come. And then he says, take my yoke because my yoke is easy. My burden is lighter. Every time we get detached from Jesus Christ, our stress level goes up. Every time we get reattached to Jesus Christ, our stress level should go down because we're in partnership with Christ. He's carrying the yoke with us. When you're out there in the world, when you're under the bondage of sin, you're under the yoke of sin and the oppression of sin and it's weighing down, it's you. You out there carrying that burden by yourself. You're bearing that burden in the heat of the day by yourself. But when you come in and you take Christ's yoke, see, it's voluntary when you take Christ's yoke. Then it gets easier. And does not mean that the Christian life is a cakewalk. No, there's some difficulties in being a Christian and living the way Christ would have us to live and having to live in this world that we live in. But when we are yoked together with Christ, then it makes that load easier and that burden easier to bear. Also, the second thing, the yoke is a symbol of control. Where oxen are yoked together, they are controlled by the master. When you're under the yoke of Christ, you are controlled by God. You have given up control. The load is lighter, but you have given up control. When we're yoked with Christ, we move together in the same direction at the same pace. When you're yoked to Jesus Christ, you can't go in a different direction than Jesus. So when you're yoked to Christ, you go in the same direction. If you're not going the same direction that Jesus is going, then you're not yoked with Jesus. You haven't taken Jesus' yoke. If you would do something different from what Jesus would do, then you're not yoked to him. You have not given up control to be under the control of Christ. When you're yoked to Jesus, you can't go in a different direction than Jesus. When you're yoked with Jesus, you can't go any faster than Jesus goes. You have to go. When those two animals are yoked together, they have to move at the same pace. Not one animal's moving faster, one animal's moving slower. No, when those animals are teamed together, they move together at the same pace, in the same direction, in the same way. So when we're yoked to Jesus, we're moving at the same pace that Jesus would move. We're not moving too fast. We're not keeping up with the trends of this world, but we're moving at the pace that Jesus sets. He sets the direction. He sets the pace. Jesus says, come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, because I'm gentle, humble in heart. Matthew 16:24, the Message paraphrase, Jesus says, anyone that intends to come to me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat. So Jesus said, if any man will come unto me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. When we're yoked to Christ, we have to ask ourselves, who's setting the pace in your life right now? Are you setting the pace? A lot of us are desirous of a lot of things in life, want to do a lot of things. We have our own agenda, but is it our agenda or is it God's agenda? If you're yoked to Christ, then it needs to be God's agenda. It needs to be his pace. It needs to move. A lot of times we want to move faster than God really wants us to move, or God is ready for us to move. If you're setting the pace, it's no wonder you're stressed out, because you're looking around at everybody else, seeing they're going faster, and think you got to catch up. They're burning out too. Why do you want to let other people set the pace for your life? Don't try to keep up with other folks. Them other folks are burning out and wearing themselves out. You move at Jesus' pace. You may not get there when you want to get there, but you get there when Jesus is ready to get there. Let Jesus set the pace. Who sets the pace in the direction in the following areas? In our phone? Who sets the pace in our email, our texting? Who's setting the pace in your social networking, in our sports, in our recreation, our work schedule, our fashion? As Brother Mike was saying, our hairstyles. I mean, who's setting the pace? Who are you yoked to? In our TV, our movies, house, car, truck, everything that we have, our church time, our money, who is setting the pace? It depends on who you are yoked to. Jesus says, take my yoke, because the burden is easier, the yoke is easier, and the burden is lighter. You're not, when you out there in sin, it's a burden. But when you come in and you get yoked to Christ, that burden is lighter. It's still a burden, but it's lighter than being out there under bondage of sin. And the yoke is easier. The yoke is easier because now you surrender control to the master. And the one who's pulling the strings is Christ. If you're out there burdened to sin, guess who's pulling the strings? Like Brother Mike said today, Satan is pulling the strings. And Satan might lead you and direct you and might take you at a pace that you ain't willing to work. He might take you in some directions you don't want to go. Or when you get to your destination, you're like, how did I get here? Because Satan was the one pulling the strings on the yoke. Satan was the one directing you. But when Christ is the one directing you, you can always know that you'll get where you're supposed to be and go at the pace you should go at. The last word that we should be concerned with is learn. Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. There's a very important part of this, this phrase, and it's the word of. Two-letter word, of. Jesus did not say, learn about me. He said, learn of me. And there's a difference there. Knowing facts about Jesus will not change our lives. We can learn about Jesus. In fact, a lot of people you work with know about Jesus. Don't they know about Jesus, Bob? You got some people that are very knowledgeable. They know Jesus. They know about Jesus. They know about his life. They can quote scriptures, but they don't mean that they know of Jesus. They don't know him personally, but they know about him. Learn of me. There's a difference. Knowing facts about Jesus don't change our lives. Knowing Christ in a real and personal way will. When we said, Jesus says, learn of me. Don't learn about me, but learn of me. Jesus was saying to the crowds, learn what my nature is like. I am meek. I'm lonely and lowly in heart. In other words, I'm gentle and I am humble. We're amazed that that the God of this universe stresses so much the gentleness and humility of his nature. What a wonderful invitation Jesus is giving us. Come to me, and I will give you rest from your struggles, your sorrows, and most of all, he will give us rest from our sin. Come, I won't abuse you, Jesus says. I won't condemn you. I will help you. I will give you rest if you will but take my yoke upon you. If you will accept my cross, my way of salvation, you will find relief from what is weighing you down and refreshment for your souls. Friend, have you found such relief in Jesus? Jesus said, if you just come and take my way, take my yoke, take my burdens, I'm going to give you relief. I'm going to give you relief from all that stress. I'm going to give you refreshment for your soul. You won't be burdened down. And Jesus says, come and learn of me. A lot of people, because they learn about God, but they don't learn of Jesus, they don't learn of me, so then they doubt that Jesus would do some of the things that he says in his word he's going to do. Well, how can Jesus, who's just so loving, how can he just destroy people? Because people are unruly and they're unrighteous and they're wicked if they don't do his way. Yes, he loves us. God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. But if you stand on the other side of his wrath and don't obey, yes, Jesus will definitely take pleasure and taking vengeance on them that what? Know not God. And see, people can't believe that because they haven't learned of God. They haven't learned of his nature. They don't know who God really is. They've learned about God. They learned what they think they know, but they haven't learned of him. So when we go back, like Brother Mike took us back in the Old Testament today, we start to learn of God. We start to learn of his nature. We know that he's all-powerful. He's terrible. We know that he's gracious and kind, but we know that he will take wrath and he will take on vengeance on those that do not obey him, who are disobedient. We know that on one day during the time of Moses that he destroyed, he said, who's on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, Moses said, step over here. And those that didn't step over there, that stayed on the other side, the Lord consumed them all. So he's shown us time and time again. He came down and he got Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham had pleaded with God, will you not destroy the city if you find so many righteous? But eventually, he had to send the angels in to get Lot and get his family out so that he could do his work and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that during the time of Noah that it grieved God that he'd even created man because the thought of man was evil continually. And so God was willing to what? Bring the floods down on the earth and wipe out everybody who wasn't in the ark. So now when you learn of God and you appreciate who God is, you know, yeah, God will do it. Oh, he'll do it. He'll kill everybody and save eight. He'll do it. He will absolutely do it. Doesn't mean that he don't love us. It just means he's that serious about his word. When he says, obey and come on in, when he makes it, he told the people through Noah who preached 130 years when the time of the ark was prepared, he told them to come. Did the people come? They did not come. They did not heed the word that Noah preached. They did not believe it was going to rain. He invited them to come. They did not come. When did they decide to come? When the waters came and the waters started. Then they started knocking on the door. Noah opened and let us up. Too late. He invited you for 130 years to come and you would not come. Then when the waters came, oh, I guess this for real, then they decided to come. So when we learn of God, we know who he is. We know who his nature. Jesus says, come and learn my nature so that you might not only be blessed, you too might become a blessing. Learn of his nature. We have to keep in mind that our Savior is meek. He's lowly. We need to also be so as well. We need to be meek and we need to be lowly in heart because our Savior is. We live in a world of hurting people who need help, and we have the answer, and Jesus is the answer. Therefore, rather than focusing on ourselves, we need to be focusing on bringing people to Jesus. Why of all things that Jesus can teach me when it comes to needing rest for our souls and needing gentleness and humility? Because the two greatest causes of overload in our life are aggression and arrogance. Aggression happens because we get in a hurry. And aggression is opposite of being gentle. Aggression is, I've got to have it now, even if I can't afford it. So we overextend. We buy things we can't afford. So we have to hustle to pay for them. We have to work overtime to pay for all this stuff we want. We don't want to wait. We don't want to pause. We don't want to delay. We don't want to consider. We want it now. We want to be assertive. We want to be aggressive. We want to jump into things. And when we get way overcommitted before we could possibly fulfill all those commitments. So that's the opposite of being gentle, our aggression. We are also overloaded because of arrogance. Ego is responsible for a lot more stress in our life than any of us give credit for. We go out and we think, I can handle this. I can take on another responsibility. Ego and arrogance is why we try to control everything, because we think we know better than everybody else. You think you know better than God. You try to do it all. You try to have it all. And you try to be it all. And you try to please everybody. This is the opposite of what Jesus wants us to teach. Verse 29, all of you take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle, I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. Jesus, how do you want me to spend my time? Is the question we need to ask. Jesus, how do you want me to spend my money? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Jesus said, whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find his life. Whoever will find his life will lose it. Jesus said, lose your life for my sake and you will find it again. Walk with me. Work with me, Jesus says. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. He will keep company with us and help us to live freely. If you are burdened, Jesus wants and he encourages us to come and learn about him. Then become a partner with him by taking up his yoke. Take up that yoke and become a partner with Jesus. He gives us the power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. To those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength, as in Isaiah 40 and 29. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings of eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and they will not faint. This afternoon, Jesus says, come. He has an invitation. Come. If you're weary and you're heavy laden and you're burdened down, Jesus says, come unto me. Take my yoke. Become a partner with me. Get in partnership with me. Take the yoke, and so that you can be under control of the master, and then Jesus will be there next to you, pulling with you. You'll be yoked with Jesus. He'll be pulling those burdens with you. You won't be pulling them by yourself, but Jesus will be pulling the burdens with you. And so with Jesus pulling the burdens with you, it makes them lighter. It makes them easier. That's what makes the yoke. The yoke is not easy itself, but the yoke is easy and the burdens are lighter because of who you're pulling with. If you're pulling by yourself, or you're pulling out there in the world with sin, then that's what makes it harder. You're out there in the world of sin. You can't always trust that the people out there in the world are going to pull with you, can you? You can't always rely. You can't rely on the people, because when you're looking around, our Lord, before he was about to go to the cross, and he looked around, and how many of those folks, those 12, could he really count on? Well, one of them we know was an out-and-out thief and a betrayer. So that one left, went, betrayed the Lord, tried to give the money back, and hung himself. Peter, the one that professed, Lord, I'll be with you, I'll die with you. What did Peter do? Peter sat right out there in the gate warming himself by the fire. When other people, started to comment that you one of them, Peter got all irate, about to curse and everything. And I don't know. What about the others? Couldn't find them. Lost, gone, scared. Somewhere hiding behind a wall somewhere, thinking that the Romans were going to come and get them. So now, can you really count on the world to be down with you when you need some help? Can you really count on them to pull with you, to be in the yoke with you? They'll be gone. When the burdens get heavy and things get there, they'll be out. But if you yoked up with Jesus, you can count on Jesus to be there. Jesus is not going to leave you. Even when you get into some trouble, if you yoke with Jesus, Jesus will be there and help you pull through. And so the burden is easier, it's lighter when you take on his yoke. And everything you do is not an obligation. It's not, you don't feel obligated when you come to church. You don't get up like, oh man, I got to be here. Well, let me just go put my little parents in. I'll come in the morning. No, you don't think like that because you yoke with Jesus. So you're willing. It's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. We give you opportunities. We're not legalists. We don't say, we don't demand. You should be here and try to be here anytime we meet, anytime we gather. But it's not because we're telling you, you have to be here. It's not because you're getting attendance. It's not because God is taking attendance and giving you credit. No, it's because you want to be here. You need to be here. You want to learn because Jesus said, learn of me. And how are you going to learn if you don't come and be with the brothers where we're teaching? So you can learn about Jesus. You can learn of him. There's other opportunities for you to grow and to learn and to be around other folks who are trying to do the same thing you're doing. And so Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. He says, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul. How many of us need some rest? And I know some of we ready to take a nap right now. We want some physical rest right now. But what about your soul? Does your soul need rest? If you've been laboring under the burden of sin or laboring under the burden of trials and tribulation, you need some rest. But you can come put those down because Jesus said, I'll pull those burdens with you. They'll be lighter. The psalmist says, cast your burdens on him. Cast them on Jesus. Because he cares for us. His back is, God's back is stronger than your back. So why are you sitting here casting, worried about him? Put him on Jesus. How many of you stay up late at night worrying and fretting about things? Why should both me and the Lord be up all night? If the scripture says he never sleeps, one of us should get in the bed and go to sleep. Take him to the Lord, leave him there, take him to God, leave him with the Lord, and you go to sleep. Let him stay up and worry about him. He's up already. He's up, sees everything, so let him worry about it. You go on to bed. Lord, here it is. Take it to him, put the burdens on the Lord, let him carry it, cast them on him, and you go on to bed and get some rest. Rest for your body, and then rest for your soul and your mind as well. Nobody, there's a lot of people stay up worrying and fretting. God's already up. Let him do the heavy lifting. Let God do the heavy pulling. Take his yoke. Let him be the captain. Let him lead the life. He'll direct you. You put the yoke on and you get in yoke. He'll let you move. He'll tell you how fast you should go. He'll tell you how fast your steps will be. The psalmist said, Lord, order our steps. He'll order your steps. He'll lead you in the way you should go. He'll take the burdens. He'll relieve the burdens from you. And he'll give you rest. Your soul. Jesus said, come unto me, take my yoke, and learn. Because I'm meek. Jesus is meek. He's humble. He's lowly in heart. Jesus is not like some of our bosses. Some of our bosses are taskmasters. I always want this. I always want more. Jesus, I'm meek. I'm lowly. I'm meek and I'm lowly. You're going to find rest. I'm not going to do you wrong. I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. You will find rest for your soul. This afternoon, if you're subject to invitation in any way, if you walk contrary, then you put yourself back under the burden and the bondage of sin. When you walk this according to the word of God, then you put yourself back under the bondage of sin. And so then you become the servant. Paul said, God be thanked that you once were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine, being delivered you, now being made free from sin, that you can become the servant of righteousness. We want to be the servants of righteousness. We want to be free from sin. When we go back and we sin and we become the habitually sin, then we go back into the bondage of sin. Then you've taken off the yoke of Christ and you put back only the bondage, the yoke and the bondage of sin. And now you become sin servant. And now sin leads you around. Sin makes you drink. Sin makes you walk at a certain pace. Sin makes you do certain things. Sin makes you say things. Sin makes you look at certain things and think certain things and behave a certain way because now sin is control. It's the one holding the reins. And it's got the yoke around your neck. Think about that yoke
and you can't move, sin says, get up, let's go, and you go. But when you come and take that yoke off, Christ said, take my yoke and put mine on. Now learn about me. I'm meek. I'm lowly. You're going to find rest. Jesus said, I ain't going to do you like that. Put your burdens, cast them on me. The burdens you're going to get with Christ, with the yoke of Christ, are much lighter than the burdens of sin. That may seem fun for a season, but eventually those burdens of sin, they get heavier and heavier. They weigh you down. They bog you down. They affect you in all areas of your life. And now you can't do anything. You can't function because you're bogged down in sin. And when you take them off, what a song, Brother Clay, we sing, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
You take that yoke of sin,
put on the yoke of Christ, and get in submission to Christ, fasten that yoke on, and then when Jesus says go, you go. Jesus says move, you move. And it's light, and it's better. So if you walk discordantly, then you take off the yoke of sin, put on the yoke of Christ. If you're outside the body of Christ, then you need to come on in and take the yoke. You need to hear that saving invitation and come and understand that Jesus came and died for your sins. And when you understand that, then you can repent of your sins, means to turn from your sins and to turn to that which is right. And then you can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then by your confession, we can baptize you for the remission of sins. And then you can put on the yoke and you can take God's invitation to come. Learn of me because my burdens are easy. Yoke is light, and you find rest. At this time, if the invitation is subject to you in any way, we invite you to come as we together stand and sing.
Our blood.